this next song, when I was a young lad, 8 or 9 years old, my mom used to get me these comic books. And they were small little books. They were like catalogs almost. They had 100 or so cartoons in them. One of my favorite was Dennis the Menace. And there was one cartoon that has stuck with me all these years. And it's the families in church. Dennis is standing there next to Mom, Mrs. Mitchell. Thank you. And the song that they're singing goes, "Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me." And Dennis looks quizzical, leans over to his mom, and goes, "Who's Andy?" And that's stuck with me. And I never heard that song in church. I went to the Catholic church, and we sang hymns all the time. And we were at a service at St. Thomas, I think it was, the Methodist church up there in Brick. And first of all, at the time, I thought I was going to go to hell because I was in a Protestant, a Methodist church. But they started singing this, and Andy walks with me, and he talks with me, and I was like, "This is brilliant. This is that song." And we got done. It's nice and quiet in the church. I leaned over to my mom, perhaps a little too loud, and said, "Who's Andy?" And she hit me. And so that's funny. I'll always remember that. It's a good memory. So Andy, and he is our God, and he is our King. And he is the creator of the universe. And he is with us until the end of the age. And he is good.
I'm not afraid to die.
you please be seated? And I know who he is. Won't you read with me, brothers and sisters, the responsive reading, which is Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. All right, so this from the Tony Evans Study Bible. I once had a crack in the wall at my house. No matter how many times I had fixed it, the crack came back. Finally, I learned that the problem wasn't with the wall, the problem was with a shifting foundation. Many of us have cracks in our lives, emotional, relational, financial, but we address the symptoms and not the source of the problem. If you want stability in your personal life, your family, your ministry, and your community, you need the strong, sturdy foundation of God's Word, Amen. Which includes both knowledge of the Bible and applying it to life. Wisdom is the ability and willingness to apply spiritual truth to life circumstances. Foolishness is unwillingness to do so.
Good word. Good word. Good. Before we go to prayer, Caleb, I'm going to ask you to bring me back to the announcements, if we can do that.
Men. Oh, sorry.
No, it's not up there yet. We still do the parking lot if anybody, you know, doesn't feel well or they want to stay out there. If people in here aren't feeling well, we still do that ministry. All right, ladies, are you ready? Ladies. Not bad, you're getting better. All right, you're in the book of James this week, this Thursday at 2 o'clock, so please come be a part of it. If you haven't come out, you're welcome to come out. All right, Chip.
Hey!
7 o'clock Tuesday night, we're going to start the third chapter, I believe, of 2 Peter. So come out now for that. It's been a great discussion. 7 o'clock. And then the Theological Roundtable every Wednesday. We're going through Romans. That's at 5 o'clock. And that goes to about 6, 6:15, depending on how long-winded the moderators are. It's a great study, by the way. So you're welcome to come out to that also. And 12:05 today, so I got to run off right after service. Kelsey School, I'll be doing the book of Isaiah, continuing the book of Isaiah. And that starts at 12:05 today. And Shoebox, if you haven't gotten yet, take Shoebox 2 or 3 or 10 and bless some children this holiday season. There's instructions in the boxes, and if you have any questions, see Bonnie. She could coach you through it. And that's it for the announcements. The only other announcement I need to add, leaders, we canceled our meeting from last week because everybody was, you know, sick and tired. That was pretty good. So we're going to meet again this Thursday night at 6:30. We have a lot to discuss, so I hope we're all well. In relation to that, I want you to realize there are people here this morning. Some have battled pneumonia this week. Some have battle bronchitis and other things, and yet they're here. Particularly, the only one who I know of as well in the praise team today was Chip. So would you please show appreciation for the men and women who show up even when they're hurting to minister to you? Would you show your appreciation, please? We appreciate that. And, you know, again, I don't know what's happening, but we need to pray through this. Also, as a matter of prayer, and I'll ask those helping with the offering if you would come up. As a matter of prayer, if you weren't here last week, Tommy Pazzolano lost his brother-in-law in that explosion in Tennessee of the, I don't know if it's a munitions plant or explosives plant, but it was totally obliterated. In fact, many of those who were inside, they can't even find a trace of them. So that memorial was held Friday. Tommy and the family went down. And they're probably on their way back now. So I just continue to pray for the Pazzolano clan. You know, they've been faced with a lot of loss over the past couple of years. And also pray for Chaz and Stacy. They went to a wedding in Savannah. Pray travel mercies. I mean, the roads are nuts. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You know, just pray for travel mercies. And just pray for one another in the church. You see a lot of people out because they're not feeling well. Kristen's got bronchitis, and you know, she came with walking pneumonia and sang, you know, last week. So, you know, that's why I say part of this is a spiritual battle. So, let's pray for these folks. Let's pray for the offering, and then we'll continue with the service, okay? Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for giving the strength to the people today to come out. We pray for recovery, Father. We pray that you would restore health to everyone who's been afflicted. Pray for Butch. Butch was diagnosed with walking pneumonia also, and yet he's here. We ask, Father, that should this be a spiritual attack on the church, because we're preparing for cantata and a praise service and other services coming down the pike as we enter the holiday season, that you would guard us and keep us well, heal us, Father. I also want to pray for those on the road, for the Pazzolanos, for the Finos, and others who are traveling, that you would watch over them and be with them as they travel. And Father, as we give to the work of the kingdom, may we give our tithes and offerings from hearts that are thankful. May we give voluntarily, may we give sacrificially, because we want to honor you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up here. And, you know, I asked you at the beginning of service, are you a good listener? And that is key in what we're going to talk about. And again, I don't want to get political here, but I want to mention yesterday that all across this country there was a there were protests called the No Kings protest, right? It's kind of unfortunate, and again, I don't want to get in politics, but this is a symptom of what has happened in our country. And here's the symptom, and it's a spiritual issue. The symptom simply is this. When we say we want no kings, that's another way of us saying that we don't want anybody telling us what to do. Now, I'm not saying we should have a king politically, but as part of the church, we have a king, and his name is Jesus. Would you agree with that? His name is Jesus. He's the perfect king, and he's the king that built his kingdom not by force, not by manipulating political votes, not by any other means than just pure love, holy love. So I want to kind of set the groundwork for that. And also to say that if we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, but as Lord, we're ascribing to Jesus then kingship over us, aren't we? Lord means master. Lord means he has the right to tell us what to do. So I want to ask a question. I want honest answers. How many of you growing up got to a point, maybe preteen or during your teen years, you got annoyed at your parents because they kept repeating things that they already told you about 1,000 times? How many of you got annoyed with them? Well, I appreciate your honesty. And you would say, why, you know, you told me once, you told me twice, you told me 10 times. And of course, you know, your mother or father would come back and say, yeah, but you still don't do it. You still don't do it, right? Your chore on Tuesday night is going to be to take the garbage out because Wednesday's garbage day. Are we clear about that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can remember. Well, it doesn't get done. And it gets repeated. And it doesn't get done. You also go through a stage as a adolescent, even a preteen sometimes, that you may think your parents are stupid. Nobody did that here, right? I'm getting laughter back here. You may think your parents are stupid. And they remain stupid until you're about 20 to 25 years old and you start a family of your own. And you say, well, they weren't so stupid after all, right? But we treat God the same way sometimes. We think we know better than God. We think that we can kind of pick and choose what God says. If we don't like this, you know, we'll just disregard it and we'll do this. This is not so hard. I can love my friends, but loving my enemies is a little different, isn't it? I can love my wife when she loves me, but loving a wife who's not lovable at that point, that's a different thing, isn't it? And yet we're called to love them. Works the other way too, by the way, wives. I don't want to get in trouble here. In this chapter of Isaiah, which is a key chapter for the next 9 chapters, by the way, Isaiah, actually the Lord through Isaiah, is pleading with people, Israel, Judah, and even the Gentiles, to say, would you listen to me? Would you listen to me? Here in this country, I really believe God has been shouting out to us for a long, long time. And by and large, we've turned a deaf ear. I think this passage has relevance for us today. So would you, let's look at it and let's go through it. I'm going to read the first 6 verses with you because this is kind of the basis for the chapter. Well, let me get back. Okay, here we go. Verse 1, chapter 28. Woe to the wreath, the pride of Ephraim, drunkards, to the fading flower, his glorious beauty set on the head of a fertile valley, to that city, the pride of those laid low by wine. Catch the imagery here. See, the Lord has one who is powerful. I'm sorry. See, the Lord has one who is powerful and strong, like a hailstorm and destructive wind, like a driving rain and flooding downpour. He will throw it forcibly to the ground. He's talking about a whole city. The wreath, the pride of Ephraim's drunkards, will be trampled underfoot. Wait a minute, this is sticking for some reason. All right. The fading flower, his glorious beauty, set on the head of the fertile valley, will be like figs ripe before harvest. As soon as people see them, they will take them in hand, they will swallow them. In that day, the Lord Almighty will be a glorious crown, a beauty wreath for the remnant of his people. He will be a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment, a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. In these first six chapters, you get the picture that there's a city. What picture, right? Drunkards. Have any of you ever watched, remember Cops, right? Now they have a program called On Patrol, where, you know, they ride live with police departments these days. Now listen, I was a special police officer when I was in college, and I saw a lot. My brother, of course, retired. Butch saw a lot. Butch was in law enforcement. But what's striking me these days was almost every stop that, or every call that police are responding to is a result of drunkenness or drugs. I mean, to my surprise, actually, that it's that rampant. And it's more rampant than we think. Remember back, was it in the 80s, I guess, maybe the 90s, when AIDS was happening because of really immorality. And the Surgeon General at the time, I can't remember who it was, came out with a very good article as to how AIDS spreads. Now, AIDS is very contagious, not as contagious as hepatitis, but it's contagious. And it's transferred, you know, with bodily fluids. And he came out with this article. He says, the reason why AIDS is spreading so much and it's become an epidemic is because of drunkenness and drugs. And I thought that was quite insightful. Because when people get drunk, even buzzed, they lose control, don't they? They'll consider doing things they wouldn't normally do. And then the drugs adds another dimension, you know, to it. And often a lethal dimension to it. Here was a city prideful of their accomplishments, had no regard for God and his word. They celebrated all the time, getting drunk, and it's like, live for today, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but you know, we'll still be here tomorrow. We may be here with a hangover, but we'll still be here. We may be here and running from problems with alcohol and drugs, but you know what, tomorrow the problems will still be there, and the solution is simple. We'll just get drunk again. We'll just get high again. And God is saying, no, you missed a point. God has been shouting at that area for a long time. and the people refused to listen. They built their kingdom on sand. They built their town on a foundation that is weak and is about to fall. Pride prevents us from obeying God. Always has, always will. This is why we have to let the Spirit of God, the Word of God, be the mirror in our lives, and we have to say, okay, Lord, is my pride getting in the way of hearing your voice, of obeying you, of taking your word seriously? I can't emphasize this enough. Now, some of you who have been with me for a while, you know that I've been losing my hearing. Nothing new. I take my hearing aids out, I could ignore all of you. But I've been losing my hearing, and that's okay. I mean, that's part of God's plan for me. And losing my hearing is serious. I'll give you an example. Mary Lou and I went up to the mall. We needed plates. You know, over the years, plates get chipped, and, you know, you break them, and you don't replace them. So we needed plates. So we went up, we bought a set, and Joey was very young at this point, and this is when my hearing really started to go downhill. And I took Joey's stroller, and we put the box of plates on the stroller to carry him to the car, and Mary Lou says, I don't think that's a good idea. Of course, I didn't listen. But we go into the road, then I feel her pulling me back. And of course, the plates went that way. But if she didn't pull me back, I would have been hit by a semi that was blowing his horn. You know, the air horn? I didn't hear it. And my fear is that sometimes we treat God the same way. He's been trying to get us to obey him so we can stay out of trouble. He's been trying to get us to obey him so we can avoid some of the pitfalls that we commonly make. And pride has kept us from hearing. Now, you know, for me, I thought I was fine, you know. Yeah, I'll get these places in the car. Yeah, don't worry. They all broke, by the way. So we had to go get another set. But, you know, I often joke with Mary Lou. At that time, I was working for a company, and they had insurance on me for $1 million. And I said, you could have been a rich lady. She says, yeah, I know, but I'd rather have you around. I said, oh, that was good. That was good. Listen. In these verses, verse 5, in that day, meaning when the Lord returns, the Lord Almighty will be a glorious crown, a beautiful wreath for the remnant of his people. In other words, God will always bless in his way, not in the way we want, but in his way, those who listen to him and obey him. It's right there. One of the symptoms of pride is arrogance. Look at these verses with me. And these also stagger from wine and reel from beer. Listen to who's staggering. Priests, religious people, prophets from beer and are befuddled with wine. They reel from beer. They stagger when they see visions. They stumble when rendering decisions. Listen. This is quite a list. Now, I don't want to get into an argument here. The Bible does not say anything that prohibits the drinking of alcohol. It does speak strongly against drunkenness. And the reason why it speaks strongly about drunkenness is because that it impairs people it affects their judgment. They make bad decisions, and they get in trouble. They can't even walk right. The priests are supposed to know better. The prophets are supposed to know better, but they didn't listen to God. All the tables are, I'm sorry to do this to you, but all the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To the children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast. For it is, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. And what God is saying here is, look, you know, arrogance means I don't have to listen to anybody. But in order to be safe, I have these religious rules I'll follow. Because I don't want God mad at me. I'll do some religious things that just becomes a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you know, that's God, now you're obligated to like me. I'm a good guy. And you're obligated to like me. Well, that's arrogance. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people. In other words, God's going to have the final word. Then he goes on to say, to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this place, this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. God is saying, I'll repeat the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me and rest. In other words, realize my love for you. Realize that what I say to you is for your own good. Realize that when you obey me, there will be blessings. Now, I always have to put this disclaimer in it because the blessings we expect sometimes are not the blessings God gives. He gives different blessings, better blessings, some of which we won't see until he calls us home. Then he goes on to say, so then the word of the Lord to them will become, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there, so that they will fall backward. They will be injured and snared and captured. And Jesus, what God is doing here is saying, listen, be careful. You fall back into a legalistic mentality and take away the relation element of having a personal relationship with God, you are going to fall, you're going to fail, and you're going to do it miserably. And all of that is because of arrogance. Does everybody know what arrogance is? Anybody? Arrogance is the quintessential characteristic of a narcissist. In other words, it's all about me. The world revolves around me. Look how great I am. Remember last week, I think it was last week, I used the illustration of Muhammad Ali, right? Before his Frazier fight. I'm the greatest, you know, I'm the best. I'm the prettiest, he said. Arrogance. You realize before the cross we're nothing. There's nothing I bring to the cross that's worthwhile other than my sin. There's nothing I can offer God that's worthwhile. And yet Jesus died for me. And he died for you. And the reason why the cross is so offensive is because it's that cross that offends us. That says you don't have all the answers. That says use nothing you can do to be right before God. No amount of legalistic laws, no amount of what you think is going to make you acceptable before God or earn God's love. You can't do that. Isaiah, in another part of the book, says, our best works are like dirty rags in the sight of God. Only Jesus can cleanse us. Only Jesus can make us acceptable before God, because he went in my place to pay my debt for my sin that I could never repay. It would be an eternity in hell for me. Instead, he endured hell in my place. Nothing I can bring to that. I'm not a good guy. I'm a sinner. Before the cross, there is no arrogance. Pride gives people a false sense of security. Doesn't it? Look at this. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death. With the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement. And what the Lord's saying through Isaiah is basically this. You believe lies instead of believing the truth. You make covenants that are dead with dead people. I upset a young person once in the course of a message. And he got upset, but, as we talked, he was okay. And I said, I hate this whole idea of zombies, the walking dead, right? And this young man took great offense to it. He said, I like it. I said, why do you like it? He says, because I think they're real. And all I said to him was this, consider this. And this was a teen, a young teen. I said, consider this. Anybody without Jesus is a walking zombie. We're all dead in sin. Scourge, thank you. Sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we made a lie our refuge and a falsehood our hiding place. That's Satan's tactics, by the way. Our sin nature believes a lie faster than it believes the truth. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Listen to this. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation, a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Who's that cornerstone? Jesus Christ. He's our foundation, right? I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, the water will overflow your hiding place. In other words, if you don't build your life on trusting God and his word, then everything else is going to fail and be swept away because you believe a lie. Because you believe a lie. Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the realm of the dead will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge sweeps by you, you will be beaten down by it. As often as it comes, it will carry you away. Morning after morning, day by day, by day and by night, it will sweep through. The understanding of this message will bring sheer terror. Somehow I think when we hear words like this, we say, oh, that's not for me. Well, without Christ, these words will come true. The bed is too short to stretch out on. Your blanket is too narrow to wrap around you. In other words, no false security is going to work in the day of the Lord. Not going to be any place to run. Not going to be any place to go. because on that day we're going to face Jesus Christ. The Lord will rise up as he did at Mount Perazim. He will rouse himself, as in the Valley of Gibeon, to do his work, his strange work, perform his task, his alien task. Now stop your mocking, and your chains will become heavier. The Lord Almighty has told me of the destruction decree against the whole land. This is God's plea to say, wake up. Listen to me. Stop your mocking. I love this imagery. Your chains will become heavier if you don't. Since we're going to be in a couple of months, believe it, and not celebrating Christmas, Dickens' A Christmas Carol. One of my favorite books, by the way. The book is much better than any of the renditions, but except the Muppet one. I like the Muppet one. But one of the ghosts, I can't remember which ghost it was. I didn't have time to look it up this week. When he confronted Scrooge about his future, it might have been Marley, because Marley was bound in chains, if you remember that, right? And you could hear the chains before you could see him. And Scrooge said to Marley, the heavy chains you have, where'd they come from? And Marley said, I forged every link of it. Because I didn't listen to God. Then Marley looked at Scrooge and said, your chains are becoming heavier by the day, Scrooge. You need to listen to the spirits. I thought that fits right in here, right? Now stop your mocking. Your chains will become heavier. The Lord Almighty has told me of the destruction decree against the whole land. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. Man, we need to hear this today. We need to hear this today. God issues a plea. I can't, for the life of me, we're talking about the creator of the universe pleading with sinners like us. Would you listen to me? Listen to my voice. Pay attention. Hear what I say. And the reason why he's pleading like that is because he loves us in spite of ourselves. And he wants us to come to him in love. And he uses the illustration of the farmer. He says, you know, even a farmer knows better. Because the farmer gets the fact that God created the land, and he created the crops, and he created the seeds and all that. And the farmer knows that he has to follow the rules of nature. He knows it. Look at this. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? The answer is no. He plows so the seeds can germinate, then they plant, right? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? Well, no, he doesn't. When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? The answer is yes. Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? Of course he does. His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. If the farmers say, you know, God, I'm not going to listen to how you created this world. I'm not going to listen to your creation. I'm going to do it my way. He would have been bankrupt. The farm would have been ruined. God is saying we need to listen to him. We need to listen to him. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a stick. The grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. In other words, there's a process here. God created the process. The wheels of a threshing cart may roll over it, but one does not use horses to grind the grain. All of this comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is what? Wonderful. Wisdom is magnificent. So I have to ask, how's our hearing today? I could hear that without my hearing aids. Right? Listen, God's been trying to get our attention for a long time. Let's prayerfully start to listen. Let's prayerfully ask God to eliminate pride in our lives, any arrogance in our lives. We've all been guilty. All of us have been guilty. So we can hear his voice better. So we can obey. You know, I'll be honest with you. Every Monday morning when I get up, Sunday's very exhausting for me because, virtually I do 3 services every Sunday. And on Monday morning, you know, I'm going to be 74 years old pretty soon. I wake up and I say, Lord, why am I still doing this? Right? I'm being honest with you. And the answer comes back and says, because you love me. And I called you. All right, Lord, argument over. Are we listening? Melissa, Chip, would you come up? Let me invite you to do a spiritual inventory. This is between you and God. Ask God to honestly help break any pride or arrogance in our lives. And he'll reveal those areas to us if we let him. And then ask God to help you rearrange priorities. You know what priorities are, right? That whatever we do in word or deed, we would do it to glorify him. We would do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because for Christ's followers, the Holy Spirit is our breath. Would you stand, please?
This is my daily bread.
time. God is good.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate you all being here today. God bless you. Let's pray, and let's pray we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have been able to be here together, to sing together, worship you, to hear your word together. Thank you for the prophet Isaiah. There's a lot of application for us today. Holy Spirit, dismiss us from here to walk in the power, your power, to hear the voice of our God and to obey it. And help us to give him all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you. Have a good day.
You too.